hindrances to hearing the voice of God. This is where I start to get a little bit edgy with you. Okay, this week and next week, I'm going to take a few jabs, and it's not at you, but it's at that part of us that doesn't go the extra mile. It's that part of us that knows that there's hindrances and obstacles in our relationship with God, and we hope they go away, but we're not fully maybe addressing them. And I want to get down to some of that tonight in the things that I'm going to be saying. And so in every way, I just mean for the truth to come out and be shared plainly, because as we look at the issue of hearing God's voice, we all know that Jesus has conquered the devil. Jesus has triumphed over everything that stands against us in our ability not only to relate with God, but hear his voice and follow him. Jesus has paid a high price to conquer all sin, death, hell, the grave, and everything that could ever stop us from relating with our Heavenly Father. And what that simply means is that if we're not hearing the voice of the Lord, and I don't mean specifically all the time, and I don't mean angels are coming out of heaven, I don't mean that it has to be crystal clear, and I don't mean there isn't a pursuit like we've talked about. But if on some level, in a relationship with God, if we're not hearing him, if we're not growing in a relationship with him in what relationship actually looks like, the problem is never on God's side. And we have to agree with that right now. The problem is never on God's side. It's always on our side. Now, I've already told you a lot, I think a lot about my life, but you're going to have to hear a little bit more. And I told you the story when I was a young boy. I was playing baseball, and I love baseball. I played for several years when I was young, and you might remember the story that I told you several weeks ago, which was when I was playing. We'd play street ball. We didn't have a backstop and a field where I lived. We just had the street, and we just prayed that we didn't hit any cars and break any windows and have to chop firewood or something all summer to pay for whatever we just broke. Hoped the best and hit the ball. That's what we did. We didn't even have tennis balls. We only had hard balls. And so, again, you really hoped hard. But, you know, being young, and so that day, I don't know what I was thinking, but decided to be the catcher. Normally, I'm not a catcher, but I decided to be the catcher. And the guy that was up to bat forgot probably how to bat and took one step back instead of a step forward to hit when the ball was pitched. And when he did, he took a home run swing and ended up on my head. And so it knocked me straight out on the ground and severely damaged my ear. And of course, following my ability to hear was also damaged, as you would assume. And so in this experience, I get home and end up going to the hospital, and there's really not much that they can do. My jaw was fairly intact, which was awesome. But my ear was ringing about as loud as an ear could ring, just ringing, and it wouldn't go away. Week after week, it would get less, but the ringing never actually went away. For about 9 to 12 months, there was a ringing, and it would just get less and less and less and less and less. Well, and what ended up happening is I lost a good, you know, half of my hearing in my right ear. And so I've been, you might call it hearing impaired ever since. And so there are some months where I can hear really well, and then there are other months where I can't hear at all from my right ear. I can hardly hear anything. And I do what most people do when you can't hear, and you get tired of saying, "What did you say? Huh?" And I act like I know what you're saying, and I shake my head and I say, "Yes." That's what I don't tell anybody that I do this. But I don't ask them to get, I was young when it happened, and when you, I want God to heal me. I need a miracle, a creative miracle. I've had everybody on the planet pray for me, and I'm still asking God to give me a miracle. So that's not the issue. You don't have to run up to me after the service and pray for me like that's not going on. I gladly receive it and welcome it. But apart from a creative miracle, my ear is never going to be better. It's just increasingly worse, and that's exactly the way that it is. And so, to this day, I can only hear so much out of my ear. Like I said, some months are better than others, and I don't know why the coming and the going of hearing in that ear. And I've been to every specialist, and they of course can give me no answers. What they've told me though is that my ear can no longer drain fluid because you have a eustachian tube. You only have one drainer in your ear. I know this is kind of weird, but If that gets damaged, you can't get it fixed. There's no fixing that area of your ear. And so essentially what happens is I get water trapped in my middle ear, and everything I hear is muffled. That's what happens. And so obviously it gets cut in half. And I've tried everything. I've been through everything. I've had the surgery things and all that stuff. And it temporarily works, but it never fully heals it because it truly cannot be surgically healed. So apart from a creative miracle, I just have to live with a level of hearing impairment. Now, of course, deaf people have it far worse than I do, and I can't imagine what they go through without being able to hear at all. But I surely know what it's like to be hindered in your ability to hear. I function that way regularly. It seems like normally in my daily world, I'm in a conversation that I fully can't hear the person that's talking to me, nor understand fully what they're trying to say, and I just plain act like it, because I have just, over the however long 20 years it's been, I'm tired of asking somebody to repeat it, and I'm tired of getting on this side of them, and if you've struggled with anything, you just get to the point where you live with it and you just accept it. And so I understand what it's like to have a level of impairment, a hindrance in my ability to hear. Now, physically, you guys may all be able to physically hear fine, okay? But spiritually, we're all like that. We're all going to have some impairment of some kind that we're going to have to deal with. I'm not saying it's going to be there forever. We can deal with our inability to hear God. The hindrances that we have will be many and or unique to us, but they are very much labeled or spelled out in the Scripture. There's a lot of hindrances in the Bible. Matter of fact, I took some time this week and I wrote out at least 20 hindrances to hearing the voice of God. And I'm sure there's probably 50. And it's not a cosmic puzzle that we're trying to figure out what's wrong with me or why I'm not hearing God. The Holy Spirit will reveal what exactly it is that's in the way of our ability to hear and follow God. If we really are following Him and we really want to know, He will reveal that to us. And if we're having a hard time hearing, get together with somebody who you trust in their walk with God, and just spell out your life, let them ask some questions, and they might help you hear what maybe you're not hearing at this time. But we all have hindrances as we go along life, and the Lord will highlight those things because we can have them. And I think it's interesting, one of the things that Jesus said that fascinates me, He said this about 8 times, and He also says it in Revelation, but he restates it in a different way. But Jesus said this after He would teach stories. Jesus was the king at teaching parables or stories when He was talking about the kingdom of God. And at the end of those stories, He would inevitably say this eight or more times. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's almost an insulting comment if you think about it. And even in the ancient mindset, it was fairly insulting because he was saying to a group of listeners, if you can hear what I'm saying, then may you hear it. You get the emphasis where I'm going here. If you can hear it, then hear it. And there was something much deeper than whether or not a person was listening. Okay, they all had ears. Clearly, they were standing there listening to Him teach for God knows how long. And they all were listening and used to stories. They were used to parables. They were used to stories as it related to the truths that he was bringing out about the kingdom or whatever a rabbi would teach during that day. They're used to that. But Jesus is saying, in other words, there's something deeper in this. And if you can hear it, I want you to hear it. It's important that you hear. And so what He's really getting at is that simply this, the crowds would listen, they had physical ears, but do you really have spiritual ears? And I guess that's the question for all of us. God is speaking, are we hearing? Are we hearing Him? Are we hearing Him? Are we hindered from hearing Him is really another question that we have. A hindrance is something that would obstruct, stop, or prevent us from hearing the voice of God. That's what a hindrance would be. That's the way I would define it. I remember one time I was invited into an intervention. Now, this isn't my first or my last time that this happened, but being a pastor, I've been invited into all kinds of situations. Most of them I don't want to bring up, okay? But you're asked to be a part of something, and you're given partial information to actually what you're, of course, entering into. And so I was asked to be a part of this intervention for a particular individual with a group of people that were bringing truth to somebody because they had done several things that were, wrong or indifferent or whatever. Of course, I wasn't a part of the group, but I knew this individual, and after analyzing all the information, I realized that this was pretty important. So I got on the bandwagon, and I decided to prayerfully consider this opportunity to intervene in somebody's life, to bring truth to them, and so on and so forth. It was the right timing and everything. And, I don't take something like that lightly. I prayerfully considered it, and I met with several people, and I prayed about what I needed to say as I knew this person and had a relationship with them. So we all got together, and they sat in the middle, and we began to talk to this individual. And every person shared, and there were actions, steps that needed to be taken after this moment. But as every person started sharing, I just went into this vision. I didn't ask God to speak to me, not in that moment. But I went into this vision, like literally. I mean, it was just, and all of a sudden, I'm looking at this person opening their mailbox. It just happens. I'm looking in this vision. This person's opening their mailbox. They're taking out an envelope, which is from me. And they take this big rubber stamp and stamp return to sender and put it back into the mailbox and close it up and walk away. And then I come out of that vision and I'm staring at this person and now it's my turn to talk. Fun, right? So the things that I prayed about, my bullet points, I begin to share them with this individual. And lo and behold, what I had just seen is actually what just happened. They were listening to me, but they were not hearing what I was saying. You follow? They were listening. Their ears were there. They had physical ears. They were there. They had to sit in the middle. They had to listen to what I was saying. And what I was speaking was prayerfully the truth. I mean, this. I had something to say that potentially could change their life, and particularly their relationship with about 8 individuals, and probably align them to a level of success that they are not going to have unless they start to hear. Not just listen, but they start to hear. For which he chose that day not to. For whatever reason, whatever block he had, returned to sender, and we're done. And I'll never forget that. I thought, man, what a fascinating thing. I can be sitting there with the right thing, and I could share it with somebody, and even though they listen, they can't hear. And Jesus obviously knows what this is like better than we do, okay? Much better than we do, because he is speaking, and sometimes we're not hearing. And I think that it's important to address this. And so, I just want to run through these. I'm not going to go over them extensively. I don't think I actually will need to, because we've talked about so many things already that some of them just speak for themselves. So allow me to do a bird's eye view with some of them. I'm just going to start going through them, and we'll nail what needs to be nailed. We'll explain what needs to be explained, and I'll just mention some as well. Some of the hindrances that we're going to have in hearing the voice of God, number one is we don't know God. I mean, I think that speaks for itself. We don't know God. Jesus was in a conversation with the Pharisees, and here's what he said in John chapter 8, verse 47. Listen to this, just and consider it. He who is of God, Jesus is in an argument with the Pharisees to a degree. I mean, they're arguing, he's listening and trying to give truth to them. But anyhow, in John 8, 47, Jesus says, he who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you're not of God. I'll read that again. I think that's really profound and very true. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you're not of God. And I think it sort of, this is the most important point. Sometimes people that I meet, people that are even church-going people, wonderful people in everything, but one of the questions that we don't often ask people at church is, when did you actually give your life to Jesus Christ? This sounds really dumb, but I'm just going to expose myself a little bit and tell you how this played out in my life. I've been leading the prayer teams at our church for some time. I'm no longer doing that. Pastor Marsh is doing a great job, but I used to lead them. I led them for a long time. In our past church, I led them as well. I trained the prayer teams. I would schedule the prayer team members, the whole deal, okay? And so one of the things, you know, as I was teaching the prayer team members to minister to people and to pray and what to do and protocol and all that kind of stuff, one of the things I failed to mention for a long time was just plain ask people if they knew Jesus or not. I mean, yeah, I should have done that. And it dawned on me one day, I'm up here and I'm praying for somebody, and the Holy Spirit had to actually say to me, ask them if they know Jesus. I had to hear the Holy Spirit. Now, some people don't have to hear the Holy Spirit say that to them to ask the right question, but Ben Dixon did. So the Holy Spirit speaks to me, ask them if they know Jesus. Okay. Hey, do you know Jesus Christ? And they asked me this question, what do you mean? I said, have you actually given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? And they said, well, no, I've never made that commitment. I mean, I'm a good person. And, you know, we go down the road. And I said, well, no. So you've not received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You've not repented of your sin and turned away and turned towards Jesus. You've not done that. No, I have not. And the biggest aha moment that I've had as one who would train prayer team members happened that moment. And of course, from there on, I started including it in all my prayer team trainings, and I never skipped a beat. I never missed that one after that, because we often make a lot of assumptions in the church that if somebody's in a seat, they know Jesus. That's not the case. And I think truthfully, without maybe rattling anybody here and trying to make you wonder if you are truly the Lord's or not, I think the Bible talks about examining ourselves. I think the Bible talks about the gospel that carries with it repentance. And I think there are a lot of people that maybe received forgiveness, but maybe they didn't repent of their life. The Bible, when the Bible talks about Jesus' message and the apostles' message, was not just receive forgiveness, it was repent and receive the sacrifice of Jesus. Repentance means we turn from our life of following our own voice, following our own self, following our own ways, and we turn to God and we follow His voice, we follow His ways, we follow His words. Repentance is so necessary to turn from sin, the sin condition, and our sins, so that we turn to Jesus. And I just want to say, before I move on, we're living in a time where the gospel is without repentance all over the world. People are not preaching repentance anymore because it's harmful or hurtful or offensive to people, but that's what saves men and women's souls. If it's not, then everybody's saved. There is a response that we bring to Jesus. We don't save ourselves. That's not what I'm saying, because we know that it's a gift, lest any man should boast. But in order to receive the sacrifice, in order to receive the free gift, we have to turn from our old life, or we're going to believe in Jesus and live for ourselves, which is not the biblical call of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will not find that, and you will not bring it to me and tell me that I'm wrong, because I'm telling you, I've spent some time on this, and I'm seeing a difference in the body of Christ of people who have repented and believed on not only the Savior, but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord, the Master, the one we're following. It's His voice, it's His plan, it's His ways. And people who just received a Savior. There's a huge difference. So I'm actually really concerned that a lot of people go to church that don't know Jesus Christ. They really don't walk with Him. They really don't hear Him. They really aren't in relationship with Him because they truly don't know Him. And we can turn and repent any day. I mean, we can repent right now. We can repent of our sin and forsake that old way of life. Jesus will help us. It's not about turning from imperfection and turning towards perfection, but we've got to forsake and abandon all of our own efforts of saving ourselves and getting right before God, because there's only one way, and we have to forsake it as a lifestyle and begin to move on. And then it's all about the renewing of your mind and the walk with Jesus, which is every day and daily surrender. I agree with that. I'm just saying there has to be initial repentance. And lifestyle repentance is all about renewing your mind. Some people just don't know God. And I think Jesus is not their shepherd. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And so sometimes people aren't hearing because Jesus is not their shepherd. And when you're helping people, maybe, of course, you're saying, well, Jesus is my shepherd. And that's not my hindrance. But it is a lot of people's hindrance that you're going to meet. It's a lot. Don't neglect to open that conversation up like I did. I used to, at least. please do remember that. Don't assume people know Jesus just because they come to church. Do not assume people know Jesus just because they're nice people. Don't assume people know Jesus because they tend to say the right thing. Assume people know Jesus because you have a witness in the Spirit that there's fellowship between you and them, and you're watching them follow after God hard. I'm concerned about anybody that I'm not seeing fruit with. And I don't mean perfection. I mean, I don't see them listening, wanting mission with God, wanting what God wants, desiring to go after Him. I'm extremely concerned for anybody's soul. I don't judge it. I don't know. Jesus knows. I don't know. But I'm extremely concerned when I don't see fruit on the tree. Extremely. And why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't I be? Why wouldn't you be? Another reason that another hindrance was that heavy. Was that heavy? Everybody feel that? Whoa. Okay. All right. Everybody, take a breath. This would be good. We'll just do it together. Okay. Here we go. Because it's going to get a little tougher. Number two is we neglect our time with God. Okay. There's a scripture, the Mary Martha reality, and we'll read that in Luke 10. It says this: Jesus. Now, as they were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet. Listen to this, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all the other preparations, and she came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me, because obviously you do. She asks a question and then completes the sentence herself. Amazing. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but listen, only one thing is necessary, for Martha has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her. You know, sometimes people will use this as a contrast between serving and intimacy. This isn't a good contrast between serving and intimacy. Jesus never puts down serving. If anything, Jesus calls us to serve. What he is doing in this passage is saying there's something that's more important than just doing all of these things. Why we do them is extremely important, but we need to first come and learn to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him, and absorb what he's saying, absorb his ways, his word, who he is, what he's like, what he's saying. We need to learn, you and I need to learn to be with Jesus Christ. Hear him, listen to him, and follow him. This is the call of a Christian in relationship with Jesus. We're following him, he's our shepherd. And I think a lot of us, there are times where we don't hear God because we neglect time with God. If you neglect any relationship, you will not be familiar with their voice, their heart, their intentions, who they are, what they like. It is absolutely the case across the board, relationally, for all of us, period. Not just even Jesus, but with our spouse, with our children, with our friends. To the degree that we spend time with and relate to one another or those that are important in our life is the same degree that we will know them well, hear their voice, become familiar with what they believe, what they think, and what their heart is. That's the way that it is. But so many people neglect time with God. Can I go a little farther in this? Because I know you're all going to say amen. I know that's true. I think that you could throw busyness into this category. You could throw distractions into this category. And here's my question. How far would we go if we had cancer and the cure was right around the corner and we had to just go down the street to get it? I mean, what would we do if we knew? I mean, how urgent would it be for us to just know that the cure is right down the street or the answer to our problem, whatever the problem is, but it's a devastating problem and the answer is right down the street. I think we would move our time slots. We would rearrange our schedule. I think we would probably prioritize whatever or reprioritize based on what we needed in that moment versus what was in the way of us achieving or accomplishing or getting the thing that we needed. We would do whatever we had to in order to get it. And I'm just simply using that as probably a very bad illustration to just simply say this. I think we should be concerned in our life if we're neglecting our time with God. We should be concerned about our spiritual life. Yeah. And I think too often we don't like to feel guilty and we don't like to feel bad and leaders don't want to say things to people to make them feel guilty or bad. Whether you feel guilty or not, that's on you. I mean, there are times where I feel guilty as well. So join the club. But if I don't say this, I mean, who in the world's going to? If we neglect our time with God, we're not going to hear God. If we don't hear God, we're not going to obey God. That's a huge problem. Amen. Okay, that's good. So anyways, don't neglect time with God. The third thing is a hard heart. One of the reasons that we're hindered from hearing God's voice is we have a hard heart. And I would actually say that you could also broaden this category into areas of sin. Unrepented sin, not the sin that we stumble over. The Bible says we all stumble in many ways. But if you're living in a lifestyle of repentance, you truly are living in a lifestyle of repentance where you're turning from your sin, you're confessing and forsaking your sin, and you're receiving not only the sacrifice of Jesus, but the provision of the Holy Spirit, who is the only one that can help us to walk free from anything that we would struggle with. If that's where you're at, then that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the life that has unrepented sin where the heart becomes hard. And I just know, just like soil, when soil is like that clay pan, when it's extremely hard, you can't plant anything in there. Nothing can plant, therefore nothing can grow. If the soil of our heart is not been chopped up, if it's not ready to be, if it's not been tilled, it's not plantable. You can't plant anything in there and it won't grow. And so Jesus obviously references the heart several times in his parables and his stories, which would take longer to discuss that. But in Hebrews 3, it kind of says what we're trying to say. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day as long as it is called today. The emphasis, again, is always on today when dealing with sin, always. So that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, listen, we're talking about hearing his voice. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. Of course, he's referring back to the time of the Israelites being in the wilderness. Interesting. If you hear my voice today, don't harden your heart. How does a heart get hard? A heart gets hard through the deceitfulness of sin. Sin gets in, and then we begin to avoid the sin instead of deal with the sin. We begin to hide the sin instead of bring the sin to the light. Our heart gets harder and harder and harder. And my friends, I'm going to say it as clearly as I can, it gets a lot harder to hear God then. If you want to know what God's saying to you about your future, but you're avoiding what he's saying to you about what you need to do or not do in your daily life, I'm just pointing out a reality that he's wanting us to listen to what he's saying here, and he has a whole lot to say about our future. He has a whole lot to say about our callings. He has a whole lot to say, all of the things that feel good to us, all the things that affirm us and make us feel like we have purpose in this life. God has lots of those things to say to you. He has lots of those things to say to me. But if we're avoiding some of the points at which he's calling us to obey him and follow him, which are for our own good, not because he just wants to see whether or not we're obedient. It's not like a game that he's playing. He's a good father that's leading us to the waters that are not bitter, waters that don't have poison, so that we can drink it and live. But if we're not following him in those daily, you know, water spots, okay, then we're going to have some pretty serious problems in hearing him in anything else. And I've just done this long enough with the Hearing God classes to know that there are a lot of people that want to hear all of the good things, or seemingly good things that God has to say about how great they are, how awesome they are, how amazing they are. But the Lord has some very difficult things to say to us sometimes. But know this, everything that God says is good, even if it is hard to hear. If God says something that's hard, it's because you need it and I need it. And thank God that he does. Thank God for the people that are in our life that don't just cover over things, but they're willing to speak the truth to us and say the thing that needs to be said. Don't avoid people like that in your life. When we avoid people that speak the truth in our life, it is most likely because we are avoiding all of the truth that God has to say to us in his word. I don't have a hard time hearing hard things. Now, walking them out, that might be a whole nother deal. But I want to welcome and receive the difficult things because those things lead to life. Those things lead to avoiding danger, traps, things that we'd be ensnared by. I don't want to fall back into sin. I don't want to walk in a lifestyle of sin anymore. I don't want any of that poison. What I want is to walk with Jesus, and anything that keeps me on the path, the narrow path, I am absolutely for. So not everything is fluffy in God. Not everything feels good in God. But eventually, it is always for our good. So say with me, this is one of the things that I say when I talk to the Lord. I tell the Lord, this is one of my declarations to God. He already knows it, but I say it anyways because it's like ministering to my own soul. I say, Lord, everything you say is good. Everything you say is good. Even when I have a hard time with what it is, I know it's for my good. Just don't stop speaking to me. Now, that may be a weak prayer to some people, but that's simply a declaration of prayer that I pray regularly. Why? Because I'm reminding my own soul while I'm talking to God that some things are not going to make me feel good, but I need them anyways, right? You do. We need them. Okay, this is just the way that it is. We don't want hard hearts. Sin is deceitful. And I do think that we're living in a time where people are flocking to hear from people that will say what they want to hear. And friends, we just need to be aware that there are a lot of well-meaning teachers out there. And I'm, of course, saying this, and I'm not including myself. And so let me not do that. There are a lot of well-meaning teachers out there that will say what you want to hear. But anything, you can preach the love of God to people, but you can actually preach the love of God too much, in my opinion. You say, what do you mean? If you teach the love of, only the love of God and you do not teach the response to the love of God, you have something going on that's wrong. You just do. And it'll be in the fruit. It'll be in the fruit. We have an epidemic in the church, the Christian church today, of people hearing the love of God and not truly walking with God. I'm a pastor. I'm telling you the truth. We got a lot of people in the church that don't, in my opinion, either know God or aren't, they're resisting his will or they're hiding their sin. And friends, Jesus dealt with sin. Why in the world would we hide from our dealing with our sin? Jesus dealt with it. It's life, you see. There's no scare tactic involved. It's life to deal with our sin, to bring our sin into the light before Jesus. It might suck. It might hurt. It might be difficult. But friends, if we don't forsake our sin, our heart's going to get hard, and we're going to have a hard time following our shepherd, I'm telling you. We'll see the rest of the sheep go, and we'll be wondering why we're over here not hearing very well. There's clear reasons why if we're not dealing with our sin. And so some of you might say, well, Ben, that's a little hard. No, that's just the Bible. Seriously, like, you can preach the love of God too much. I'm telling you the flat truth. This will help you. This will save your life if you hear me. If you're having a hard time hearing what I'm saying right now, that's a good indication that you might be having a hard time hearing the Lord's voice in this area, because there might be a hardness that God wants to break up. Let him break that up. Become soft. Become pliable in the hands of God. Let the Lord say anything that he needs to say to you. Let him say it. It will give you life when you need it. It will keep you from the dangers of this world. It will keep you on the path that you need to stay on. Do I need to keep going? I just feel that that's such an underestimated issue that I wanted to kind of hit it a little harder than normal. So we move on, and I think it's important that we just sort of get to some of the mindsets that actually keep us, hinder us from hearing the voice of God. One of the mindsets that we have that keeps us from hearing the voice of God, it hinders us, is we think God only speaks through the Bible. Now, I've dealt with this already so many times in our last 4 weeks. But how many of you know the Bible is God's word? Okay, it's God's word. How many of you know the Bible is infallible, meaning that in its original writings, Hebrew and Greek, and some Aramaic, it is entirely the word, the spoken, breathed of the Spirit of God, word of God, through men who wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This is not the objection that I have whatsoever. This is infallible. Our words, as we prophesy to each other, as we minister, or even as we hear, we might be hearing through a filter, a wrong filter, okay? But the Bible is not the only way. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us to lead us and to guide us within the parameters of Scripture, not outside of the parameters of Scripture, within the parameters of Scripture. But in fact, the Lord wants to have a relationship with us, a daily relationship where he's leading, guiding, speaking to, comforting, affirming, exhorting, challenging, correcting. And they may not come up as Hebrews 3:13. It may not be a specific scripture that he reminds you of when he speaks to. He might just simply say, principally, what the scripture says. Ben, don't harden your heart right now. He wants to speak to us relationally. God has come down to our level. He does not expect us to come up to his, because you can't anyway. So no, don't try. But Jesus was the example of how God is approaching us. He came down in human form to relate with, talk with, demonstrate for us relationship that we were to have with the Father so that you and I could begin to live out what this thing really is all about as Christians. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. But sometimes there are a lot of people out there that teach God only speaks through the Bible, and it's truly, truly wrong. You have to get the other CDs, and of course my book, because I have a whole chapter on the role of Scripture in hearing the voice of God. That's one chapter that I actually have written, the role of Scripture in hearing the voice of God. I would never downplay the Bible. My friends, please hear me. There are people that do that. I have exhorted them, I've challenged them, I've corrected people that talk like that, that the Bible doesn't have the ultimate authority. That's not my position. I'm just saying the Holy Spirit surely speaks outside of just reading the Bible. He speaks within the parameters of it, though, always. And you'll also find this in the Old Testament. A lot of times what's interesting is many, many, many times in the Old Testament, sort of attests to what I'm saying, is that you'll see this all over the place where God will be speaking, whether it's through a prophet or Moses or somebody in Judges, this kind of a thing, where it simply says what, I have a passage up there, you can read it. But it says at the end of this, because this nation has transgressed my covenant, which when the word talks about covenant, it's talking about binding agreement, it's talking about the law of God. This nation has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and they have not listened to my voice. Well, isn't that interesting that he talks about both? They've transgressed the law, they've transgressed my covenant, and they've not listened to my voice. And matter of fact, I think you could probably find this about 40 times in the Old Testament alone, where people did not follow the law, they did not adhere to the righteous commands of the law, and when the prophets came and spoke, or when the Lord spoke through Moses, or when he spoke through a judge, or when there was a word that had come through someone, they didn't listen to the voice of the Lord to realign themselves with the law or whatever it was that the word specifically was. So there was both, and I believe that it's really important. They're just not equal and they're not the same. The voice of God to you or the voice of God through somebody else towards you does not have the same role that the Bible has in your life, and that's why we need to actually mention this. And you're going to have to get my book to get my full approach to that, and you'll enjoy it because I think it's a real good perspective. That's what I think. Another thing is we think that only special or real spiritual people hear God. Let's just like knock this one out of the park, right? Only special or only that person hears God, or only people, you know, like Ben hears God, or this person hears God, or they hear God more than I do, or this kind of thing. No, look at what the Bible says in James. I think it's James chapter 1. I have it up here, but James just says it like this: if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God gives without reproach. He doesn't have favorites. Then he goes on to saying, you have not because you don't ask. So I would actually think that there's a deficit of asking God to hear him on issues, like we've talked about already, pursuing God's voice. I think a lot of people don't ask God what he thinks about their family or what he thinks about their spouse or what he thinks about their future or their decision to do this thing or to do that. I think we have a deficit of asking God what he thinks or what he wants about specific things in our life. And I think that's part of the problem is we have not or we hear not. I'm changing this a little bit. We hear not because we don't ask. So if anybody lacks wisdom, I think it could be said if anybody lacks anything, let him ask of God. If anybody lacks wisdom, wisdom is communication from God, isn't it? Wisdom is communication from God. If you lack communication from God, if you lack the wisdom of God, ask of God, and God will give without reproach. He doesn't have favorites. He loves you just as much as he loves me. He will speak to you just as much as he'll speak to me. It's a matter of asking. It's not a matter of being special or real spiritual, because really spiritual people just are humble and they ask. That's what spiritual is. Number six is we think that hearing God is a spiritual gift. Of course, we've talked about this one many times. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. So if you're a sheep, and you could say, bah, you're probably in. I'm just letting you know. But no, if you're a sheep, in other words, if you're a follower of Jesus, you hear his voice. Not if you're a prophetically gifted person. I haven't really addressed prophecy in this class whatsoever. I have a CD series, which is kind of like level two, understanding prophecy, where we go into just about the prophetic, New Testament prophets, Old Testament prophets, spiritual gifts related to prophecy, all can prophesy, go into all of that kind of stuff and how to minister prophetically to people. But this is, hearing God is a privilege of relationship. It is not a spiritual gift. Hearing God for your own life is a privilege of relationship. It's whether or not do you want to hear God. Of course, putting in the time, quality time with God, knowing his word, studying, reading his word, pursuing his voice, learning to discern, growing and being discipled. All of these things are incredibly important to hearing the voice of God. And so whether you want to hear God's voice or not is evidenced by those steps that you could take. But the truth is that there are a lot of people that think hearing the voice of God is the exact same thing as prophecy, and they're not. Prophecy is defined by speaking, and hearing God is defined by hearing. Prophesying, simply the definition of prophesying to somebody, just a very simple definition, is to hear God for somebody else and to speak to them for their benefit, edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's prophesying. That's what a prophecy is. So if you hear God but you don't speak to somebody, you didn't prophesy. But if you heard God, well, then you just heard God. So we're talking about hearing God more than we are speaking from or for or on behalf of God. We're talking about hearing. Hearing God is defined by hearing. Prophecy is defined by speaking. So they're not the same. And of course, I have my own approach to all can prophesy, because Acts chapter 2 just plain says it, that the Spirit will be poured out. My sons and daughters, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams. They all will prophesy. So I love the fact that the Bible says that. You got to get my CD set to get my perspective on that. But we think that hearing God is a spiritual gift. Not true. It's just a privilege of relationship. And number 7, I put deception. And there are a lot of people that were taught some pretty weird things. And what happens when you're taught things that are absolutely false, you end up developing what I just call a filter. And when you have a filter, you tend to hear things. You even tend to read the Bible through that filter. Maybe it was bad teaching, doctrine, that was deceptive doctrine. The Bible talks about there would be, in the last days, doctrines of demons, seducing spirits. One of the ways that a seducing spirit, demonic power, tries to approach us is through doctrines of demons. And if we all knew, if they were easily discerned, we would all pick them off right away and go, that's a doctrine of demons. Not listening to that. I mean, they're not always easily. A lot of times a doctrine of demons is a very subtle teaching that has a half-truth in it. So part of it's true and the other half isn't there. So you're not fully walking in it. But if you accept the half as the whole, well, it's very deceptive. And so the enemy, the way that he attacks us, usually isn't directly. He can do that, or he has done that, not only in the Bible, but I know that people will have those experiences. He's not under every rock, and I don't give him too much glory or anything. But the reality of demons and the reality of his role in this world is, I mean, something we do have to understand. We have to understand it well so that we're not either preoccupied with things that he isn't doing, but we also understand and can discern the things that he is trying to do. It's very important. But the deception that he tries to bring, that's the way he works. He works in thoughts. He works in lies. He's the deceiver. He's the accuser. He's the liar. This is the way that the enemy works against the people of God. He's deceptive. And so, unfortunately, I have heard so many stories from people where they've been a part of a church that has taught just plain and simple, God doesn't speak this way, or I've been around plenty of churches, maybe even in other countries, where they have certain things that are very, very, very deceptive. And it's affected their ability to hear God in the present. And so it's a hindrance. The deception is a hindrance. And you, of course, can be helped out of that by the Lord. The Holy Spirit will, of course, remove that filter. And you need to kind of own that and come out into the light with somebody that what's going on in your mind so that you don't fight that alone. Because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your personal struggle. It's our struggle. Okay, you got people that will help you walk that out. But don't get boxed by the enemy in your own mind without fighting with people that will help stomp the devil with you. Amen? Stomp him good. That's what we need to do. And so just some other things real quickly is pride is a huge reason that we don't hear God. As I shared with you my story of the intervention that I had, this person already thought that they knew everything. And when I'm with people, when you're with people, or when you're one of those people, and you have pride, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. The humble are honest. The humble are teachable. The humble they have open hearts. They don't think they know everything. It doesn't mean that we act like we don't know anything. That's not what we're talking about. But we need to be open to receive. I mean, I remember my dad was sitting with me one time, and my dad doesn't care for church politics whatsoever, you know, because he's gone through his fair share of church splits and this, that, and the other. And anyways, he was just kind of telling me, saying, you know, Ben, I just feel like he kind of despises the whole man of God thing, like the person up here really gets it, and everybody else needs to learn from the person up here. He and I both share the same disdain. Not that we don't honor the role of a pastor. They have a role. They have a gift. But they're one of the body. And the pastor needs to be able to hear from, I'm going to use this term, but I don't mean it in a condescending way, but the pastor needs to be able to hear from the lowliest of brothers. Because God might choose to speak through someone, okay, through someone that the pastor might, if the, do you understand, see what can happen? Like, I know the Bible, I'm a pastor. God might choose to speak through a donkey. He's done it before. Not that the lowliest of brothers is a donkey, but I'm just saying God chooses pretty interesting methods sometimes because he knows what needs to get through pride. And if we have pride in our life, if we have real pride, it's sin. And we need to forsake it and repent of it and move on with Jesus. It's just sin, just like any other sin. But listen, if pride is stopping us from hearing the voice of God, it's also stopping us from following God, which is ultimately what hearing God is all about. So get rid of it, you know. And me too. You know. So the other one is we've not obeyed what the Lord has already told us. We've not obeyed what the Lord has already told us. Times where the Lord will not begin speaking. Like, think about Noah, for example. Can you imagine Noah getting this word from God? Noah, I want you to build an ark from gopher wood. And I want you to build it this size, you know, this width, this length, and that's what I want you to do. What if Noah stopped in the middle of building the ark and started seeking God for another word? God, I really just wish you would speak to me right now, Lord. I just want to know what you're saying to me about my life, Lord. I want to know what my purpose is. I think the Lord's like, Noah, I want you to finish your boat. Just obey what I already told you. Okay. Sometimes you want to hear something from God, but God's already spoken to you. And really, all you're going to hear, if at all, is you're going to hear God say, well, get on with what I've already told you. I'm not saying all the time this is going to happen, but sometimes this is the issue. God has already spoken to you, and you now need the grace to walk it out. So ask the Lord for the grace to walk out what's already been spoken over your life. And so there are times where the Lord won't move on with us, like a good parent, because it would interrupt and it would get in the way of what he's actually called us to do right here, right now. For the sake of God knows what. Look at Noah. If he stopped, I mean, come on. We probably wouldn't. We'd be swimming right now. So, or worse. And the 10th one is really, really just something that if you're going to put that one up there? Go ahead, number 10. So this one is sort of a given, but I think it needs to be brought up because regularly people will be, they'll be on medication. And if you take medication that can alter anything, you know, in your mind or anything like that. I don't take medication unless I absolutely had to. So I don't pop ibuprofen right when I get a headache, or I just as a rule, as a general principle, I just don't take medication unless I absolutely had to. That's just my rule. And so very rarely do I have to, but there are times where I do, and I'll take it according to the good doctor, you know. But I've noticed that I'll have weird dreams. When I take medication, I have weird dreams. And can you imagine if somebody is like so just hyped up on God speaking to them and knows that God gives dreams, and all of a sudden they have just these weird, crazy things. And one of the things I've noticed with people when they tell me about their dreams or some of the things that God's speaking to them, I actually ask them, are you on any medication? And, you know, half the time, some folks are on medication. And so it helps me to filter through what people are saying. And I think the world would be helped if we would actually up front, if you're on medication and you're trying to process through something that you think is God, please let the person that you're processing through with what you might think is God, let them know you're taking medication and what kind of medication. If it's aspirin, it may be like no big deal. But if you're taking some kind of thing that has been affecting you, my friends, I know this is a kind of, you would say to me, duh, but I need to say it because I get into that position so many times where people are so excited about something God's been speaking to them about, and come to find out they're taking some kind of thing that needs to help them in a particular area, and I just wouldn't take some things as seriously. That just common sense stuff, really. That's part of my common sense app that I'm going to come out with on the iPhone. It's the common sense app. Every time you just need common sense, you just hit the common sense app. It'll be awesome. Don't buy that if you don't have the money, or just something like that. You know. Are you on medication? You think that's God? I don't know. Just something simple that might help the world around us. Where you go, I go, what you say.